Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 28, starting at verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed with them, stayed there in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord.
Is the gospel chained? Certainly, here in Acts 28, the preacher of the gospel is chained. He's under house arrest, literally chained to a member of the Praetorian Guard. Paul has been chained for years, firstly under house arrest in Caesarea, then on his voyage to Rome, during which time he is shipwrecked and bitten by a viper. Paul is chained up. But is the gospel chained? What we've seen from chapter 23, verse 11, is that it is God's purpose to take Paul with the gospel to Rome. God promises Paul that he will preach the gospel in Rome. Satan does all in his power to frustrate God's sovereign will. He sends the storm. He causes the shipwreck. He causes Paul to be bitten by the viper. But God's will is done. Paul and the gospel make it to Rome. And the effect of Paul's chains is that the gospel spreads throughout Caesar's palace, as these soldiers, who are chained to Paul for 6 hours every day, take the gospel back to Caesar's palace. And the gospel spreads there, as we know from Philippians 1. 4 things to show you about the unchained gospel. It is because of the hope of Israel that Paul is chained. It is for the whole Old Testament that Paul is chained. It's Paul's unbelieving hearers who are ultimately chained. The gospel is unchained and unhindered. And I have reduced all that down to these four points: chained preacher, chained teacher, chained unbelievers, and an unchained gospel. Firstly, then, a chained preacher. Most people in the West would be surprised by the answer to the question, who are the most persecuted people in the world? It's the Christians. The former, now deceased, chief rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, a surprising ally of Christianity, Rabbi Sacks said that the suffering of Middle East Christians is one of the crimes against humanity of our time. He compared it with the Jewish pogroms in Europe and said he was appalled at the lack of protest it has evoked. Also, according to the International Society for Human Rights, a secular group with members in 38 states worldwide, 80% of all acts of religious discrimination in the world today are directed at Christians. In Burma, Chin and Karen Christians are routinely subjected to imprisonment, torture, forced labor, and murder. Persecution is increasing in China. And in North Korea, a quarter of the country's Christians live in forced labor camps after refusing to join the national cult of the state's founder, Kim Il-sung. Somalia, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the Maldives all feature in the 10 worst places to be a Christian. The article concludes with a heartrending quote from Fuad Twal, the Catholic Patriarch of Jerusalem, who asks, "Does anybody hear our cry? How many atrocities must we endure before somebody somewhere comes to our aid?" Chains are very common among Christians today. Paul is a chained preacher. God has brought Paul to Rome just as he promised in chapter 23, verse 11. Rather like in the hymn Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, Paul has already come. Notice Paul only takes 3 days to rest. That's quite extraordinary after everything he's been through. But 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. Paul continues his practice of going first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, once the Jews have rejected the gospel. Verse 17, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors," Paul always considered himself a good and faithful Jew. "I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death." Paul is entirely innocent. Verse 19, "The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." So Paul is bound for preaching the hope of Israel. This has come several times in the preceding chapters. Paul says in chapter 23, chapter 24, chapter 26, "The hope of Israel is a Messiah who rises from the dead. This has been Paul's message. For this, he's in chains. Let's think about this for a moment. Paul was doing what we should all be doing. He was going around talking about Jesus, talking about the fact that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, long prophesied in the Old Testament and risen from the dead. The consequence of Paul's preaching is that he is chained up. Nothing like that is going to happen to us. We're highly unlikely to suffer greatly for sharing the gospel. The most likely thing is that we might be disliked. Although some people have now suffered in work for living overtly for Christ. What keeps us from opening our mouths? It's not as if we live in a country like China or North Korea. Paul is a chained preacher. Chains don't stop Paul preaching. He keeps on living for Christ. But secondly, Paul is a chained teacher. Paul teaches from the whole Old Testament, verse 21. The Jewish leaders reply to Paul that they've received no letters from Judea concerning Paul, and there have been no bad reports about Paul. Well, that's encouraging. But they would like to hear Paul's views, verse 22, on the sect of the Jesus movement. They come to Paul's house, verse 23, in even larger numbers, and Paul teaches them from morning till evening, explaining from the law of Moses and from the prophets all about Jesus. Paul tries to convince them from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah who is risen from the dead. Wonderfully, verse 24, some were convinced, but others would not believe. So here is Paul, a chained preacher, a chained teacher, but he keeps going. He keeps on preaching. He keeps on teaching. Thirdly, what we see here are chained unbelievers. Who's wearing the real chains here? Miracle Village in Florida is populated with an unusual demographic. Half of its population are registered sex offenders. Under Florida's state laws, sex offenders can't live close to schools, daycare centers, parks, or playgrounds. And in some places, swimming pools, bus stops, and libraries are also out of bounds. The effect has been to push sex offenders out of densely populated areas. So the late pastor Dick Witherow began the unusual community of Miracle Village. The name was changed to City of Refuge in 2014. And the vision was of providing a haven for people usually shunned by society and the church. The BBC comments, "This is a Christian community dedicated to helping sex offenders rebuild their lives. But non-Christians are accepted, and everyone is welcomed in church. There are anger management and Bible study classes, And as a condition of their probation, most of the sex offenders attend psychological treatment programs. Some of the offenders have jobs in local towns. Sex offenders are among the most obviously bound. They are very obviously ensnared by their sin. But the Bible teaches that all unbelievers are chained until Jesus sets them free. In the words of Wesley's hymn, "My chains fell off, my heart was free." Paul is very clear that his opponents and unbelieving listeners are clearly bound, chained, ensnared. Paul condemns his unbelieving opponents in the words of Isaiah 6. These are the words God gave to Isaiah when God commissioned Isaiah. God told Isaiah, very frankly, that he would be an unsuccessful preacher, that his hearers would be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. And the reason for this is verse 27, that their hearts have become calloused, hardened against God. They've come under the judgment of God so that they will never hear and understand. They will never turn back to God, and God will never heal them. So although Paul is in physical chains, his unbelieving hearers are much more surely chained. They're bound in their sin. Isn't this a far worse form of captivity? Paul's chains were temporary. His unbelieving hearers are now chained for eternity. Imagine hearing this verdict on one of us. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving, because your heart has become calloused. Your heart is hard towards God. So there is no prospect now that you will ever turn and repent and be healed. That possibility is no longer open to you. May this not be true of anybody here today. Chained preacher, chained teacher, chained unbelievers, but fourthly, an unchained gospel. The Jews have largely rejected the message about Jesus. They have rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Therefore, says Paul in verse 28, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. The gospel is not the slightest bit chained. The gospel will now spread like wildfire all around the Gentile world. Verse 30, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The gospel is not chained. The gospel goes forth without hindrance. As Paul famously wrote from prison, This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. 2 Timothy 2:9. Nothing hinders the advance of God's gospel. Nothing stands in the way of people becoming Christians. What God decides to happen, happens. Satan may throw his worst, persecuting God's people, but the gospel continues to advance. So where are you in all this? All around the world today, our brothers and sisters are, in a sense, chained for preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible. And yet, the gospel spreads powerfully, especially in some countries where the believers are most oppressed. We may think of China, we may think of Iran, we may think of Hindu India, and many other places. Persecution is rife. It's awful. We should value the freedom we have to preach the gospel in this country and take full advantage of that opportunity. The reality is that those who are most chained up are not the persecuted Christians, but those who have hardened their hearts against King Jesus. They are the truly chained, those who will never understand or perceive the truth because they've hardened their hearts against King Jesus. But all the while, the gospel is unchained. The gospel goes forth with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction, in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And many are converted. The Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow as all those whom God is calling, turn away from their sin and turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. So are we preaching and teaching the gospel? Perhaps you're feeling the pressure of this. It's not easy to serve King Jesus. It wasn't easy for Paul to be chained up. It must have been miserable. When we live for Christ, we become a target for the evil one. And that is tough. That is difficult. Satan has many strategies to discourage us, but we're on the winning side. The gospel is not chained. It spreads unhindered within God's sovereign purposes. So if you are a Christian, keep going. Keep living for Christ. Keep sharing Christ with the world. There'll be such a celebration when Jesus comes again and we see all those whom we helped to bring into God's kingdom. It will be so worth it on that day. It will be so worth it when we hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It will be so worth having lived for Christ. So keep going. Or are you a hardened listener. You need to take this very seriously. If you continue to harden your heart against King Jesus, there will come a day when God says, enough, and you are given over to the hardness of your heart. And God judges you and condemns you to your own choice. God condemns you to the consequences of your sin. God decrees that you will never turn and be healed. May I beg you, please turn to Christ before it's too late. Please turn to Christ while you still may. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:15. Do not harden your heart against Christ, or one day you may find that this decision of yours is final and you will never be able to repent. But all the while, the gospel is unchained. The gospel is spreading all around the world. God is saving his church, ready for the day when Christ will return. And you and I can be part of this great gospel movement. We can be sharing the gospel with our family and friends and neighbors and colleagues, confident in the fact that God is in the business of saving souls. God will save some of those for whom we pray and to whom we speak. The kingdom of God does indeed grow as God's people speak about Christ with all boldness. Be bold in sharing the gospel, because it will spread without hindrance. The gospel is not chained. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your gospel is not chained. Even while we pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted today for following Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would keep them faithful. We pray that you would sustain them. And we pray for ourselves, Father, that we would take full advantage of the opportunity you've given us of sharing this unchained gospel. Father, please give us opportunities this week to talk about Jesus. And please would we not miss those opportunities. Please help us, Lord, to live for Christ. And Father, please would no one leave here today without knowing that they have put their trust in Christ and made Jesus their King, and that they now belong to him, that they have been saved from hell for heaven. Father, please would no one here today be lost, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.